The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Lance, we have made it through the NFL draft. Always just a beast to cover, you know, with all the lead up to it. The 3 days are very intense. And now we get to dissect the Bills draft class. They made 10 picks. Brandon Bean traded 7 times to, you know, change those numbers up a little bit. 6 of the 10 on defense. A little offense and special teams mixed in as well. We're going to dive in deeper on some of this, but let's start with just your immediate reaction.
No surprises. I think the last time we recorded, we mentioned that we expected trades and we wouldn't be surprised if they didn't make a first round pick. We expected a lot of defense based on the scheme. And, you know, they signed Connor McGovern and they traded for DJ Moore. So, yeah, kind of on brand. The only, you know, we'll get into it. I guess the only surprise really was some of the players they took on day three, and not for bad reasons. Honestly, I liked what they did on day three.
I was talking about this last night at my house and just saying how, like, when the draft was unfolding, I was like, I'm not sure about some of these. But then when you get the full picture at the end, then it was like, okay, actually they flipped this and made sense there. And it kind of, I think there were a few picks that I have come around on a little bit. Obviously, we have not seen these guys together in Bills uniforms on the field in the schemes they're going to play in. So there's so much unknown right now. But that doesn't matter. We're going to talk about it anyway.
No, of course. Yeah, I think their entire strategy for this draft really started when they traded for DJ Moore.
Yes.
Getting, you know, the pick swap, a 2 for a 5, that left a gap between the first and the third round where you sort of knew that Brandon Bean doesn't like to go that long between picking players. And everybody was saying this draft, there's good players, but it was a little bit different in terms of where the depth was going to be. And especially late in the first round, it just made all the sense to trade back. They already got their one receiver, and they ended up adding another one later.
Yeah, I know some people were frustrated in real time during the first round of just like, I think it was almost because of like the teasing nature of it, of like, we're trading back and now we're trading back again. Trading back one more time.
And everybody likes a first round pick. It's the big night. You want your team to they want their team to have a pick announced by Roger Goodell on night one. You stay up late for it, especially if the Bills are picking late, and then for there not to be a pick and three trades. There were some groans in the media room, we'll say that much.
Yeah. Looking back, like we said, we were kind of expecting him to trade out. I was, at least, just kind of given the lack of first round grades, the caliber of players who were there versus what needs they had in their draft board.
Yeah, he hinted toward it, and it will be, again, it was very difficult to sort of project what they could do because we don't know a whole lot about this defense yet. It's a new coordinator. Previously, you knew the types of players that Sean McDermott wanted, and it wasn't just who they may draft. It's also who they still had on their roster and how they may fit and how that may influence what the Bills were going to do in the draft.
Yeah, we'll get into it more, but I think just the defensive side of it, Jim Leonard, you know, they joked about him needing a certain amount of guys for him to stay at his job. But you can definitely see his hand in this draft a little bit.
Catherine, let's start with their first pick. That's a good place to start. Yeah. That's in some ways, or many ways, the foundation of your draft class. And TJ Parker from Clemson probably wasn't the guy that I expected them to pick, not for any reasons other than, I don't know. I guess because in some ways he is sort of similar to the other edge rushers they have on this roster. You know, Brandon Bean even compared him to Bradley Chubb.
Yeah.
But if you look at that 2024 season from TJ Parker at Clemson, he was projected to be a top 10 pick based on that production and what he had done. Just Clemson, their entire season and all of their players, their draft stock suffered because of how poorly it went for Clemson.
Yeah, and I think the Bills, we've seen the last couple of years, they're kind of comfortable with looking back a couple of years in college. I mean, what was it, Deion Walker and his back injury, where they were like, okay, we saw what he did in 2023 in this case, and we're comfortable drafting him in 2025. So, you know, there's a few players here where it's like, well, let's look at the body of work. What changed for them as a player over time? What improved? What still needs to improve? I thought it was an interesting pick. I was maybe a little surprised too, but not in a bad way. Just like, oh, okay, that's what they're doing.
They need another edge rusher. I don't disagree with that stance. And when you look at if you were going to pick one, that was the range to do it. There were there were several there that would have made sense. And Brandon Bean, for good reason, you look at free agency every year, the edge rushers that get paid the most money can stop the run.
Yeah.
This team was terrible against the run last year. Yeah. So you knew going into this draft, they're going to be looking for players who can help them stop the run. That is something TJ Parker can do. And you need another. Like, I like Michael Hoyt, but he's coming off that Achilles injury.
Mm-hmm.
They're excited about what Javon Solomon can do in a rotational role as an outside linebacker, but they're still, he's unproven. Right? Yes. He's entering year three. You don't know what he's going to do in this defense. And it is just such an important spot, not only in this defense, but every defense in the league. Bradley Chubb, they like what they got there. But age, contract length, they needed more at that position, and that's certainly something that G.A. Parker is going to give them.
You heard just overall Brandon Bean talking about youth at defense, and you know they're betting on some of these guys' rookie contracts that they're going to be able to build the team this way a little bit for this newfangled defense that they're going to have. So I think edge was definitely a need. Brandon Bean, interestingly, thought the biggest need was cornerback.
Yes.
What did you make of that?
Not surprised. We saw it in the playoff game. I feel bad for Dane Jackson to bring him into it, but he has to go on the field in a very difficult spot, and Denver immediately attacked him. And it goes back to the playoffs the previous year where corner death became an issue. And, you know, Brandon Bean during the middle of last season, he tries to get Darius Slay. That didn't work out. And the later you wait in the draft, especially at that position, it gets more difficult. And, you know, he considered taking a corner with his first pick in this draft. Yeah. It just, you know, Parker was still there, so they went with Ingbenosin. And I think corner's completely fine. You're going to play more than two in any season. Maxwell Harrison, as much as he was a first-round pick, it was up and down his rookie year, so there's some uncertainty there as well. So you protect yourself a little bit, and they are betting on the fact that Ingbenosin didn't commit nearly as many penalties last season. And sort of his skill set and the competition level and the guys he was going up against in practice every day at Ohio State, they feel like that has him prepared to contribute immediately as a rookie, beginning on special teams, but also competing, you know, pushing the guys ahead of him on the depth chart.
Yeah, I loved his answer to your question, Lance, about Davison and Bignosen was talking about how, like, he wanted to go to Ohio State because he wanted that competition, where he's like, if I want to be a better corner, I've got to go up against the best receivers.
Marvin Harrison Jr., Jeremiah Smith, he faced them every day. It's interesting when we knew they were going to go defense.
Yes.
And when you look at how this team has lost in the playoffs, it makes sense to keep going defense and continue to pour assets into it, especially when you have a new scheme. But I also find it interesting the counter argument people make that this team hasn't invested enough in the offensive side of the ball.
I'm glad I don't have to balance these needs because, you know, between just like the roster constrictions, salary cap, everything, it is hard. You know, I think people think about it of like, oh, I just would do this, and it's like, well, that wouldn't actually work in real life. Let's talk offense for a little bit, because their next two picks, they did go offense. Jude Bowery is one where when I talked in the first segment about sometimes being surprised in the moment at a pick, but then seeing later on, like, okay, well, this worked out for all these other needs. I was surprised that Skylar Bell was still available where he was. So when they went Jude, I was like, I don't know if I would have gone this here. But then seeing how it played out, I was like, okay, actually, this is a strong pick because you're getting that depth on the offensive line. Maybe even getting a starter. You don't know if they move him to guard, which is a possibility. But man, this is a tangent, but I just like,
no, it's fine.
I love seeing these guys' reactions when we talk to them on Zoom, when it's still so fresh, when it's still so real. And Jude Bowery was one especially where just like, I don't know, he had just finished crying. He was excited to play. And you remember how big of a deal this is for these guys who, no matter how it pans out, they're having this big moment.
Yeah, and he's one that he fits the profile of the tackles that they like to take. And I like that they didn't wait too long. At the start of the offseason when they signed Connor McGovern, they brought back Dawson Knox, they traded for DJ Moore, we heard Brandon Bean and Joe Brady both say that this is all, like, we have to protect Josh Allen. We have to surround him with the right people. So I think with wherever your opinion lies. It really, I think the main focus is if you like what the Bills did in terms of focusing on defense in the draft, then you like the DJ Moore trade. If you didn't like the defensive heavy draft, you probably didn't like the DJ Moore trade. But when it really did play out to where they looked at the end of the second round what the receivers would be in that area, DJ Moore's better than those guys. And that played out in the draft, which then allowed them to, okay, what receivers do we like? And it was that group where Skylar Bell went.
Yeah.
It was like Antonio Williams from Clemson went to the Commanders. You know, there was enough intriguing guys there where they thought, okay, we can get one. And you get on the clock on day three and tackle, guard, it is so important. And it's not just Brian Vandermark leaving, Catherine, but Deion Dawkins isn't getting any younger.
No.
Right?
He has many things. Getting younger is not one of them.
Osiris Torrence is entering the last season of his rookie deal. He's going to be very expensive to resign. So they had to come out of this draft class, in my opinion, with two offensive linemen. They did. Bowery, I think, is... he's athletic. They, you know, Brandon B mentioned playing him inside, so that could give him an opportunity to play right away. And Skylar Bell, like, that was the one guy going into that day three where I thought he makes so much sense for the Bills. Yeah. It's not because he catches screen passes a lot, but it's everything else. It's being able to play multiple positions. And again, like, I know that people wanted that first round wide receiver. People wanted Casey Concepcion, or they wanted Omar Cooper Jr. But if you weren't going to get one of those guys, I think that what the Bills did is a pretty solid alternative when you get TJ Parker, DJ Moore, and then Skylar Bell.
I think, again, just like the way it played out in between rounds, I was kind of like, what are we doing? Yeah. But then you saw who they were able to hit on, and it was like, okay, this is coming together.
Yeah. I wondered if they were gonna wait even longer on a receiver. The only part about the Bell, he doesn't have a lot of special teams experience. And that's what, you know, Jay asked a really great question after day three of the draft. How do you project whether a guy could play special teams or not? Because that is going to be the way Skylar Bell gets his jersey for game day. And I really like Catherine day three with the Bills. It was so much about drafting upside. It wasn't these guys who have a high floor who, you know what, they're at least going to be special teams contributors, mm-hmm. or they at least have sort of the intangibles we look for. No, I mean, a good example of that, we can move on to the pick right after Skylar Bell, linebacker. We were wondering, I asked Brandon Bean about it after day two, like, what's your plan for inside linebacker? Because there were some good ones that went off the board right before they took Ingunnosen. And Caleb Ealer-Mazor is somebody who I think you're going to see on the game day roster more often than not this season if he's healthy.
To that point, I like the Jalen Kilgore pick.
It's a really good pick.
Yeah. I think his versatility... you know, he's ready to be on special teams, but also being able to play safety, being able to play nickel, being able to back up, you know, different positions there as he acclimates to the NFL. I thought that was a spicy pick.
Yeah, it is, because you knew they were going to, like, Jim Leonard was a former NFL safety.
Yeah.
They were coming out of this draft with a safety.
Yeah.
It is a very fascinating projection to take somebody who played basically three or four different positions at South Carolina.
Yeah.
And really decide we're moving him to safety. Now, he can still play nickel. Like, that's a backup plan. But they are going to allocate their time and resources to preparing to play safety. And another theme of that, especially day three, Catherine, was sort of the intangibles. And I think what Joe Brady and Jim Leonard want was some nastiness on that defense.
We heard that from players.
Zane Durant's answer to your question, the defensive tackle from Penn State, yeah, that said it all to me. I feel like he called it was paraphrasing here, but violent were one of the words that he uses. And that's the mentality. They want to be an attacking defense. So that was certainly a focus with the type of players they brought in.
So with 10 picks, the Bills were able to address a number of needs. But kind of like what we were saying last segment, there's always so much to do. There's always more. What needs are still standing out to you at this point of, you know, maybe they address with this next little bit of free agency wave or, you know, just kind of figure out?
I'll start one. I'll name one that I want to hear yours. Mine, this is an easy one. It might be low-hanging fruit. It is linebacker. Yeah. I do like Caleb Ealer-Mazor, the linebacker from TCU that they picked. But it sounds like they... special teams, probably more of a developmental player at that stage of the draft. So I do think when you look at Terrell Bernard coming off the injury, Dorian Williams, see how he fits in the defense. Doesn't it just seem inevitable that Shaq Thompson's going to be back? it feels like it does. He has experience in a 3-4, and he possesses so many of those qualities, plus leadership. Because there's a lot of younger guys on that defense. They lost some veterans, Taron Johnson, and also Matt Milano. You would think that maybe they try to bring in another leader, and we saw it with Shaq Thompson. He's just... he's that guy.
He's got that leadership equity. And like, I've been here with Buffalo. I know how it works. And also, I am a veteran in this league, of course. But, you know, there's a difference between a veteran just showing up and being like, hey, I'm in charge, and someone like Shaq who can, you know, really talk the talk.
Good working relationship with the other linebackers. Yes. It struck me in his end of season interview just how much time he spent on talking up Terrell Bernard as a leader, and how good he is, and how the injuries aren't going to, like, he's going to be a good player, like, and he already is one. So I think that not only the position, but the player, it just makes a lot of sense. I'd be surprised, I guess, that if he weren't with this team in training camp.
No, linebacker, I would say, is still a need in my eyes as well, of just kind of even just bringing in guys for competition to rev things up a little bit. I wrote about this earlier this week. I was a little surprised they didn't just throw a dart at a quarterback. Josh Allen is good to go. I want to make that so clear. But I don't know. I just thought eventually you're going to want a backup who you're not paying quite as much as a Kyle Allen.
Yeah, and somebody with more upside. Yes. Like, Kyle Allen knows the system. They trust him. He's got a great relationship with Josh.
Yeah, but those are important things to this team.
But we've also seen how expensive backup quarterback. Kenny Pickett got $7 million.
Yeah.
So it'd be a lot cheaper to develop somebody from within. And there were some reports leading up to the draft that the Bills worked out some quarterbacks.
Yes.
But the ones that I saw them attached to ended up getting a lot of money in signing bonus.
Yeah.
And you're guaranteeing them a roster spot, and the Bills, just where they're at right now, they're not in a spot to do that. I couldn't agree more, though.
I could understand them waiting one more year for it.
Yes.
But I almost feel like I say that every year. Like, oh, next year will be the year that they bring in a young guy to just kind of be in the room and to even soak in stuff from Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I feel Brandon Bean always wants a little more competition at offensive line, too. Both sides of the trenches, but offensive line in particular, I can see them still bringing in a few guys there just to, you know, have bodies.
Yeah, because you have Austin Corbett, but there's the injury history. Yeah. You have Lloyd Cushenberry, but there's the lack of versatility. You have the rookies, and there's a lot of unknowns with those guys. They like Alec Anderson, but you can't just hand him the job. So it's making sure you have enough competition. Nose tackle is the other one that I find.
Yes.
You know, I know, like, Brandon Bean went on WGR the other day and said that they think Deion Walker can do it, but another part of this is going to be Zane Durant, their fifth round pick from Penn State. He's smaller. The Denver Broncos use a smaller nose tackle.
Yeah.
So as much as it's not going to be Durant's main lane, the Bills are going to give Zane Durant an opportunity at nose tackle in training camp to see how he does. If he's completely overwhelmed by it, they'll pull back. That being said, I can see them going out and signing somebody who's a little bit more experienced. And leadership is another, that side of the ball, I feel like, you know, you have just different types of leaders. Like, Christian Benford is probably one of the more respected leaders in that room.
Most
and you
definitely
see the way that he works with the younger players, but he's not the most vocal leader.
Yes.
And you look across the defense, there's a lot of guys like that. And I think they want some of that fire, that intensity that maybe they have lost over the last couple of years. You know, Daquan Jones, another guy, big leader, no longer there. So what other positions do they try to bring in a veteran who can provide some of that leadership? And nose tackle, that there's not a whole lot out there right now. DJ Reader's the one, but older, injured. It's just going to be that kind of a guy, though. Somebody who's still unsigned that you bring in, you know, whether that's in May or June, to at the very least provide competition.
Yeah, and I think, like you mentioned, just kind of you want some – they want this nasty defense, so they do need a few guys who are a little louder.
Yeah.
You don't – there's multiple ways to play defense and to be a leader on this team, on any team. But I think they need just, like, a dog.
Absolutely, and that's what Shaq Thompson brought last year. More of that. And I look back to offense, Catherine, and is Jackson Acker, the undrafted free agent fullback, going their fullback?
Great question.
Joe Brady's going to have a fullback on this roster.
Yes.
Now, that fullback might not always have a game day jersey. If they're not good on special teams or they can't help in the ways that Reggie Gilliam did, they won't. That's another spot, though. They are going to use a fullback. Is it going to be Anker? Is it going to be somebody else? We're going to find out.
So much to find out.
Yeah, and it's like now we have a clearer picture of what this team looks like, what the roster, what the competition is going to be going into training camp, where they might need some work, who's on the roster bubble going into, you know, things can change. You have injuries, you know, Brandon B mentioned it at the start of training camp last year. They thought they were great at corner. Yeah. They thought it was their deepest corner room that they'd had in all of his years here. And you saw how quickly that changed, but at least after this draft, you start to see what it's all going to look like. Before we go, though, I want to hear your reaction to they believe in Keon Coleman.
Yes.
That is another layer to this. Everybody wanted a receiver. Everybody wanted, you know, a bigger name receiver. Them trading up in the first round for Casey Concepcion. Keon Coleman is very much part of their plans.
I thought it was interesting Brandon Bean used the phrase that it's not lip service, because I think that was what the perception was from some people of like, well, they're just saying this so they can maybe up his value, so they can just seem like they didn't make a mistake. But I think at this point, like, they're locked in.
Yes, they are locked in. And now it's up to Keon Coleman. I think it is true. Joe Brady said the day of that introductory press conference, the best thing that could have happened to Keon Coleman is Joe Brady becoming the coach. And Joe Brady's going to make sure that Keon Coleman has opportunities, but there's competition. Like,
yes.
Keon Coleman right now is probably their number three or four receiver. So you're going to have to help on special teams. You're going to have to block even better than you did last year. So how does he show up in training camp? He had an incredible training camp a year ago.
For
it just
sure.
didn't translate to the season. Now it's making sure he's staying on task, and time will tell, but I'm sure that based on the trade offers they got, couldn't have been very good. So you may as well bet on the talent you gave. He was a very important part of that draft class. They traded back. They got him.
Yeah.
They see a vision for him, and it's a lot easier for that vision to become a reality when you keep the same coach in the same system.
And I think Joe Brady is going to be able to relate to him in a slightly different way.
And I think the position, like, it's a position coach thing as well. Like, yes. Drew Terrell, they really like Drew Terrell, their new receivers coach, and they feel like he's going to be able to connect with Keon. Younger coach, had a lot of success developing those receivers in Arizona, despite Marvin Harrison Jr.'s slow start to his career. But Joe Brady mentioned it a couple of times. Like, they just feel like they have an infrastructure in place that's going to help Keon Coleman on and off the field.
Yeah, that'll be a huge thing to watch, because I think that changes so much of the tenor of this team.
We'll see how it all develops. First, it's going to be rookie minicamp, Catherine.
Yes.
Then OTAs continue, but we're right in the thick of it, and we'll see how it happens. She's Catherine Fitzgerald. I'm Lance Lysowski. Thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you guys again pretty soon.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations: Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.